We were designed to hunger for the deep things of God, to thrive on faith and wonder, to seek out divine wisdom that defies human logic. We were designed to unlock the mysteries of God. This is Breathing Underwater. Hello, listeners and dreamers. Margot is here in episode 59. We're going to do something that we haven't done yet, which delights me deeply. And today I am bringing on a guest that I had on last year who had a dream interpreted on the podcast, who is now walking in this crazy, unexpected, literal fulfillment of this dream. And I know her, we've been keeping in touch. And when I realized what was happening in her life, I said, this is your dream. This is the fulfillment of that dream that we interpreted almost a year ago. And I thought, you have got to come on and share this. So my intention with today is that you would see a picture of what it can look like when a dream starts to unfold in the natural. It's really important that we're always interpreting our dreams as metaphor if they're symbolic. Sometimes they're literal and you know that they're literal, but sometimes you don't know that there's a literal element, and really until it happens in life. And what I love about this dream today, as you will see, is that there is so many layers to it, that there was a symbolic layer to it, there's a spiritual layer to it, and there's been a literal physical playing out of these things too. So I am going to reintroduce you to my guest and my friend here. I hope that you enjoy and are encouraged by hearing and experiencing God's faithfulness and fulfillment of what he's spoken.
Hi, Morgie Bear. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi. So glad to be here.
For those of you who have not listened to the initial episode that I had with my friend, Lindsay Morgan Snyder, it was episode 13 last May, almost a year ago. Stop right now and go listen to it, because everything we're about to talk about is going to make so much more sense. Also, Lindsay is just so much fun to listen to talk. Every time we chat, I'm like, I wish I was recording everything you're saying, because she's just a well of wisdom, but also a speaker and a writer and an actress, among other things. Yes, Morgie?
Wow. Well, that's a story to begin with, isn't it, Margo?
Yes. Yes. Well, let me give them a little context of what we're going to do, and then I would love it if you wanted to start with that. Whatever feels right. But I brought Morgie back on the show because she had a dream we interpreted last May, and she's actually walking in the fulfillment of parts of that dream now. And it's actually so cool and a little astounding, because we don't really know what the dream is going to mean until things start to unfold. And so I asked if she would come back on the show to tell us what's been happening in her life. So what I'm going to have her do in a minute is give us the dream again, to give a structure, and then she's going to tell us what's actually happening and what the Lord has done, so that we can see how they match up side by side. But let's start with the actress thing, just because that's such a funny, like, little side moment. What do you want to tell them about that?
It is a good side moment. It is a good side moment. So if you guys go back and listen to episode 13, you will hear Margot like introduce me. And she says, oh, she does this, she does that. She goes, and she's an actress. She goes, can I call you an actress? And I thought, no, like, that's not, that's, I've never done that before. I don't have any desire to do that. Like, I didn't say it, but she could see it in my face. And she goes, okay, well, maybe not, you know? And so just kind of moved on. Well, and you know, of course I wasn't mad. I thought it was cute, but I just thought, like, what? I was like kind of confused by that reference. Of all the things I've done in my life, like, that is not one of them. So I was like, weird that she would say that. So the funny thing is in June, only 2 months after that, God started opening up these doors for me in acting at 46 years old, like, which is very like unusual in Hollywood, which is where I live. If you're 46, you're deemed kind of like a grandma, you know, like, this is not an industry to start in when you're 46. I mean, I'm not saying God can't do that. I'm just saying, like, in the natural realm, this is not normal. So it was very strange how God started opening up all these doors. I ended up getting an agent, which is very unusual for someone my age with no experience, really, a commercial agent. And I've gotten different little parts ever since, and been kind of doing stuff in that world ever since. So I just, that makes me laugh so hard that you called that out on a podcast, I looked at you like you had three heads, and 2 months later, actually, that's what was happening. So thank you for Margot.
You are so welcome. Basically, I think what we're deducing is people should listen to me.
Exactly.
I know stuff. I mean, honestly, Morgie, it was just like, it just made so much sense to me. It did not feel odd for that to roll off my tongue. I'm just like, do you not see this? But you hadn't seen it yet.
No.
I just love it though, because obviously what you're doing now suits you so well. Yeah, and you are doing other things too, which have come since this dream. So before I get ahead of myself and get really excited, do you mind just giving the listeners a reference again and telling the dream when you had it, what you called it, and then do it front to back. And then let's talk about what's actually happened in fulfillment of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. I love to encourage people. So let this encourage you, friends. So I think, I can't remember the exact date, to be honest, but I think it was January 2022 that I had the dream. Yep. And then you and I talked April 2023, to give a little timeline. And the dream was that I was in this like medical building, this like big, like really nice medical building, actually. And this family was there that I know. And I remember my mom making a cameo, and then us meeting this investor person that was going to like pay for my wedding.
That's right.
Do you remember this? Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's a little bit of the dream. Oh, also in this, it was like a medical center. There was like worship music. There was like a lot of worship music, and it was a really pretty medical center. It wasn't kind of sterile like you see. It was very pretty. And then I might be missing a piece or a part, but like, I remember walking up the sidewalk, and I walked up this sidewalk to this kind of dark brown building. And I walked in, and it was all these beautiful dresses. And I was like trying them on. And I remember one of the dresses that I guess I really liked had a zipper. There was something really unique about it. Remember, it had a bunch of zippers on it.
Yep.
And like it was unzipping or something. And you had referenced in the podcast about that, you know, like God was unveiling something, or, you yeah. know, so, yeah. so that's kind of a brief version of the dream. Yeah.
Yes. And you had also, there were pieces that were already overlapping from your trip to Israel, which we ended up talking through in that past one. So it's almost like there's different dimensions to the dream, where that was actually naming something about your journey. You ended up naming the dream from death to life.
Yes.
Ooh, feel the Lord. Because of what he's done in your healing journey and just identity and reestablishing powerful femininity in your life, etc. And then, you know, here you are in these gowns in this place. But I also knew you, someone that loves fashion. You and I connect over this all the time. And
how we met.
That's how we met. That's true. We met over garments. Ah, I love it. We both have a fashion distraction. I mean, literally, you can be having a conversation with me. I'm the best listener unless we're outside and a really good outfit walks by and I get a fashion distraction. Anyway, that's almost the only thing that will distract me. It's legit. Anyway, I digress. But because I knew you as well and your call to the fashion industry to some degree, and that's been in your heart, I'm like, I also feel like this is having to do with destiny, even though we didn't know really what that was going to look like yet. So would you like to tell us what you have seen come to pass since then and how you feel like it matches up in the dream?
I mean, so much, actually. Like, even more is just popping in my head, because I remember on the last podcast we talked about, yeah, like femininity and beauty and like how that had been stolen from me in my life just through, you know, the shenanigans of life and that shenanigans. How things go sometimes. But and how like there is so much packed in this dream. Like, it's kind of insane. Like, I mean, it's amazing how we dream every night, yet like one dream can have so many pieces and parts to our life. It's kind of
so
strange.
True, Liz. So true.
So I'll just tell the most direct part. So the first thing that happened was about 2 months ago, I was on like my acting website. You know, it's called Casting Networks, which is where you find acting jobs. And so I was on there, and God had told me, I want you to get on there every day, and I want you to submit to things. You know, I have an agent, they submit you to things, but God was like, I want you to get on every day and submit to things. So I was on there submitting to different things, and I got this call back. And that's where like someone call, you know, calls you and they're like, hey, we want to see you. We want you to come in. But the funny thing was, it was for this live host, which I would love doing actually more than even like acting like someone else. I love just being on camera and being myself. And so, but it was 18 to 34 and I'm 46 years old. And I called my mentor and I was like, am I lying if I go to this callback? Because like I'm 46 and it says 18 to 34, although they chose me, you know? And she goes, no, in this industry, it's how old you look. It's not how old you actually are, which I'm like, well, that's a compliment. I don't think I look 34, but anyway, okay. And I felt that I didn't want to go, you guys, because you know, doing new things is scary. Even if it's your destiny, doing new things is hard. It's uncomfortable and it's scary if we're going to be hashtag honest. Okay. But I could feel the Lord. He was like, I want you to go to this. And I thought, you know, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it. So I like get my little car, broken down car, and I'm mosey on down to downtown LA. And we're in the fashion district. I go up to the 12th floor of this cool building and I'm like sitting there and I'm like, what is this? Like, I didn't quite understand what they wanted us to do. Long story short, it's like the number one dress supplier in the US. And now they're going like live, like they're just trying to sell direct, kind of like QVC, and they need hosts. They just need little live show hosts, you know? And so right there, they're like, okay, put a dress on, go up there. And they're like, sell. And now the cool thing is I have a, you know, I did corporate sales and marketing for 15 years. You know, I went to business school. So I mean, I know a lot about sales. So for me, like fashion and sales, and I get to host on camera, like it was so natural for me and so fun. So for the past few months, I've been like this live host of this like dress show where we try on these absolutely stunning gowns. Like they're formal gowns that you would wear to a ball or, you know, I mean, they're like these stunning gowns. And not only like is that piece interesting, but I would say more than anything, I kept having dreams this past year of God restoring my femininity, restoring like, you know, all of that. And other friends had dreams for me about that, you know, and even just things about like, you know, I don't know how real you want me to be on the podcast, but
be real.
Almost even like, you know, like me seeing myself as beautiful, me seeing myself as like a sexy woman, you know, like that had really been stolen from me in my life. And so like, I was having dreams about this, like, you know, other people were having dreams for me about this. And I was just like, I guess this is what God's doing, you know, which is fun. And so like, I'm at this job, you know, and I try on these dresses. And of course you look at yourself in the mirror before you go out and blah, blah, blah. And I keep like, I mean, these dresses, okay, I'm going to be another reel. So if there's any religious spirits, you might have to exit the room for a minute. But like I saw, and I thought, cause some of these dresses at first, y'all, like they were a little lower cut than I was thinking was a good idea. They were a little shorter than I was thinking was a good idea, you know? And I was like, I don't know, God, like, is this okay to do this? Like, should I be selling, you know? I mean, I had a real problem at first actually. And I talked to my mentor, who's very conservative, you know? And like, I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night having like major thoughts about this, like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to like ever dishonor God and, you know, like go too far to this side, you know, when you're trying to find the middle and you click over to that side by accident, you know, I was just so concerned about it. And my very conservative mentor didn't seem to have any problem with it, you know, and she kind of felt like the enemy was really just trying to like, steal from me and stop me. And I will be honest, the first few weeks of this job, everything happened. It happened, you know, and you're just like, but I kept trucking along and God kept pulling me through. It was really special. But I would look at myself in the mirror in these dresses and I was like, wow, like I'm kind of hot.
Yeah, Liz.
I've never seen that in my life. And I was used to be 20 pounds skinnier than I am now, you know, like not maybe have a tiny little belly like I do now, but like, I'm looking at myself in these dresses and I'm just like, wow, like I'm kind of hot. Like I'm kind of beautiful. And I know that might sound weird. And if someone takes a snippet of this, you know, then I'll be this weird person anyway, but.
Morgie, hold on. Okay. I know you're on the same page with me as this, but I just have to insert some truth here. That's not weird. That's partnering with the Father's design in you. To think otherwise, right? When we're so taught, oh, it's holy, or like maybe humble to like think we're gross or to not think we're beautiful, that's actually partnering with the pit of hell. So you are spot on, Right? You know that, but I just have to put that out there. Okay, keep going.
And no, it's true. And I mean, my issue, just for context, has always been self-hatred. I always thought I was disgusting, ugly. No guy would ever marry me because I was so ugly. Like, that's what it talks about in the beginning of my book. Like, you're so disgusting. No one will ever love you. So it is God's healing, but it just felt kind of extreme. You know, it felt a little like, oh, you know, but it's funny because in that dream, if you think about it, the hospital is a place of healing. And you and I talked about this, but even, you know, it's gone even deeper than I would have thought, you know, like, oh, you think it's healing, but then like, no, God gets to the core of it, you know, and he was really getting to the core of like, just those major identity issues I had, where I just couldn't even see myself as like sort of pretty. Like it was weird. Like I saw myself as ugly and disgusting. Like not just maybe not pretty, like ugly and disgusting were the thoughts I had about myself, were the words the enemy kind of planted in there and I agreed with. So it was kind of extreme, you know, for this little job to come and I get to wear these like insane dresses. I mean, they're absolutely stunning. And I mean, that's what I do all day, is just try them on and go and talk about them and help people, you know, feel beautiful. And it's really sweet. It's so sweet, you know, and like, sorry, I could go on and on, but it's really powerful. I'm like, wow, that's crazy, you know, and just being able to see myself as, you know, not like, I think it gets unhealthy when we're like, oh, I'm hot and I want everyone to think I'm hot, but no, I'm hot and I want my husband to think I'm hot. You know what I mean? Which I don't have yet, you know? So like, it's kind of like just seeing myself in this way that's like, my husband's going to think I'm hot, you know?
And what I love about this too, is it's not like God has you in a room alone, trying on some gowns, working through stuff in your heart. He's like, you were made to be seen, Lens. And this is actually a part of your call to be on camera, to be interacting with people and be seen for who you really are. And it reminds me of the part of the dream, obviously, where you were in that building where you were trying on all of those dresses. And then there was the dress you really loved with all the zippers and something being unveiled, you really
right.
being yeah. unveiled. And I remember interpreting that part as metaphor as well, because I knew you had a call somehow into the fashion. So I knew there could be a literal angle. But in the moment, we didn't know any of this. We didn't see any of this coming. And so I recognized that it had to do with identity, right? And calling to gowns, dresses, what we wear. And so it's so cool how there's this dual thing happening, where there's the metaphor thing happening, where your true identity and calling and you seeing yourself as beautiful, that's being unveiled, while you're also literally in the industry trying on dresses. It's both.
Yeah, I know. It's big. It's Ephesians 3:20, to be honest. It is better than we could ask or imagine. Like, I would have not ever, this was not in any of my thoughts, you know, or plans. And it really is crazy how God can like take everything that you like, you know, how you hear people say like, he's gonna, you know, he's not gonna waste anything. And like, when you're in the middle of the pit, which I've been in many times, you know, you're just like, yeah, I don't know how he's gonna do that. Yeah. And then when he does it in little areas of your life, you're like, yo, he's really good at this.
He is really good at this. The ultimate storyteller. The yeah. ultimate. Okay. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more, because there's another piece to this too, right? So there's the actress thing, which I prophetically called out because I'm prophetic. The Lord wanted that to be seated, apparently. That's so funny. A month later, you start to get acting gigs. Then there's also this angle with the dresses, where you are literally putting them on and being unveiled and in this final process of healing. And then there's a third aspect too, right?
Yeah, well, I know. And I mean, who knows how this one's even going to roll out, to be honest, but we shall see. And some of it's probably, I probably can't say a lot. I'm just now thinking there's an opportunity I have with an Israeli cosmetics company to like do some work with them. Yeah. And it's funny because when I went to Israel, we were in Jerusalem and we got out of the car and I saw this building and this little campus. And I was like, oh my God, that's the building that was in my dream. I had seen that in real life. Like, it, I don't know how that works with Dream World, Margo, you would know, but like, it kind of came, it like literally like just was right there. And like, that's the building that was in my dream. And it was in Jerusalem. And, you know, people kind of interpreted that like, oh, who knows this, that, and the other, you know, and I didn't know either. And then fast forward to a few months ago, I was introduced to this gentleman who said, I think you'd be great for this, Lindsay, you know, like, I think you'd be great to help us do this, da, 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 da. But I think this part is significant too, since I can't talk a ton about that company. But what's funny is that when I was in Israel, I had bought this dress that I loved, and it was like a Persian, like kind of princess dress. And I wore it to my friend's wedding. And then I had also worn it on Let's Make a Deal. So I was on the game show, Let's Make a Deal.
That's right. This part is important.
This part's cool. And so because you had to dress up, I didn't have a lot of money. I was like, God, help me. What do I wear? He's like, well, see if you can wear that. And I'm like, okay. And they let me. And so I bought this $20 like headdress thing. And when people asked me who I was, I said it was Queen Esther, which they all look at me a little weird, you know, because I'm like referencing Bible characters, but it's fine. And so then I won these diamond earrings on this show, and they were amethyst. They're purple, you know, and God was like, well, I've always seen you as my diamond, Lindsay, and, you know, purple is royalty. And I was just like, oh, God, it's so fun. You know, I'm like, they're my Esther diamond earrings. You guys, I could not pay my rent for a while. So I was trying to sell these things like no one's business, and I could not sell them. And it was driving me crazy because they were worth $4,000. And that's like 2 months of rent in LA. And so I was just like, I was so mad. I couldn't sell them. And so fast forward to my birthday, which was just in March, I turned 47. I wore one of the pretty dresses from the dress company, you know, because why not? Which was really special. And then God was like, why don't you wear your diamond earrings? You know, you haven't been able to sell them. You should wear them on your birthday. I'm like, okay. So I like wearing my earrings. And then my friend who's a makeup artist said, I want to do your makeup for your birthday, which was such a gift. And so I went to her house and she goes, did you know today's Purim? And I was like, no. She's like, your birthday's on Purim. And I was like, So I start, you know, I know what Purim is, but I wanted to kind of study it more. And, you know, that's when Esther, So it's just
just in case people don't know, let me just say that to them. So Purim, I don't know really how to say it, is the Hebrew holiday that marks when the Hebrews were basically saved from Haman's plot, right? Like in the book of Esther, when Mordecai got reinstated and Esther went to the king and exposed Haman. And oh, such a good story. And this was the day that your birthday was on, when you were wearing your Esther earrings that you won on Let's Make a Deal while you were wearing this beautiful Persian gown that you bought in Israel.
Yes. And wasn't Esther Persian? Or yes. I mean, yes, Esther was Persian. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were in
Persia.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's insane.
No, I mean, who even knows what's going on some of the time, but it's so there's another little piece of the puzzle, but the family that was in the dream, when I was talking to this company about how I could maybe, you know, help them, because they have something really special. Israeli skincare. They have something very special, very, very special. Again, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say anyway, but they have something very special. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, that'd be so cool. I'm a connector anyway. So I want to connect them to people that, you know, it would be a win-win or whatnot. And so I was like, oh, and then I thought of my friends, Danica and her family, because they are in like the Medi Spa business.
Danica and her family showed up in the dream, in this dream. So that's another tie to the dream is what you're saying.
Man. Yeah, it's another type of dream. I mean, again, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it's interesting.
Oh, it so is. And there's, I mean, we cannot wrap our brains around it because we're so linear, right? We don't mean to, but we're just like this plus this equals this plus this. But God sees from so many different angles, right? And he goes at things so many different ways. And there's so many layers to everything because his intentionality is mind-boggling. And his strategy is mind-boggling. So all of these are just God winks and connections to this dream, but also to like, hey, I'm in this, Lindsay. I'm in the midst of all of this. And I remember, too, when we first were interpreting that dream, and it was the hospital type place, but it was really beautiful, a place of worship. And it, we talked about the Medi Spa because she was there, and it was this correlation to that. I'm even recognizing like the healing that's coming through the beautifying treatments, especially that you're going through these treatments of putting on these gowns and seeing yourself and being in front of people and being given these earrings and standing in a different kind of part of your identity and beauty, which of course also reminds me of Esther. She went through all those beautifying treatments right before she was actually put before the king. But it's like the Medi Spa, not, it's not just a hospital, it's a Medi Spa where there's treatments and the healing is coming through being pampered.
Yeah, it's so interesting because that then clicks into, well, there's two things I want to say. Well, let me say this first. So some other commercials I've been getting, they're internet commercials, so nothing like, global TV, but like internet commercials,
Yet.
have been these, different devices. So they're sending me these free devices, like to like for your face. It's so weird. It's crazy. Like I really wanted this. My friend has one of those red light therapy masks, and I just don't
Yes.
have extra money. So I'm like, not in the budget. And then this one company I just worked for, I did like a little internet commercial for. They were like, "Hey, so we're gonna send you another one. We're gonna send you like a red light therapy mask, And I'm like,
No.
So I was like, I don't want one of
That's it. I'm moving to LA. I want your jobs.
those." I just am like, why, God? They don't pay a lot, but you get extra free things, so it's fun. But it, I mean, that's interesting you said that because it is like I'm getting, yeah, it's like God told me through Libby Gordon, he said, God's giving your time back. And I always kind of wondered what that meant, And you know how the Bible says that God will give you back what the enemy stole, he'll give you the time, or I don't know if he says the time, but he'll give you back what the locust has eaten. And
Restoring the years.
yeah, the years, right? The years. And so I do kind of think it's funny. I mean, not funny, haha, funny, but like, wow, cool, God. Like you're literally doing that. Like you're literally like you said, like giving me these things to help my skin or what? I've not been someone who spent money on my skin in my life. I was not, that's not what I was doing. I was really, to be honest, spending money on the inside, not meaning like my soul. My soul was so messed up. Like that was the like emergency need to focus on that. So I didn't really have the money or the resources to, or even the know-how to spend, make my face look good or whatever. I always didn't do much to my skin at all. So I think it's kind of sweet. God's like
So
redeeming
sweet.
it. Like so sweet of
It is
him,
so sweet.
and unnecessary, if we're honest.
Or is it?
Right. Good
Do
point.
our human, religious, poverty mentality minds, we think it's unnecessary? And God's like, I don't understand. This is a value to me. Beauty is who He is, right? And He knows, especially with women, we were made to feel delighted in and beautiful and. Man, he restores all things. So why wouldn't he restore the years? Why wouldn't he restore youth?
I mean, it's really sweet. Like it's when I say unnecessary, I just mean like it's lavish, like it's a little over the top, but
Totally.
he's an over the top God. I mean, he's I'm not making this happen. It's actually kind of like shocking to me, I'm just like, gosh, like what is even happening? I don't even know. But the other piece that I think clicks in, and I did feel like God was like, well, why don't you just tell people on Margot's podcast? And I was like, are you sure, God? And he's
Yeah,
like, yeah. I'm
please.
like, okay. But what's interesting is like my whole journey has been from like hating myself to learning to like let God love me and then learn to actually love myself, which again, if there's any religious spirit, they will lose their mind at that. And they already have, and I've seen it. And I felt like there's been a lot of pushback, even just in my own little heart, about like, you're being selfish, but I'm like, yeah, but the Bible's pretty clear, it says First John, like in First John, it says we love because he first loved us. Like if we can't actually learn to receive God's love, we don't even really know what love is. We're just making it up, and then doing our best, whatever, watching Hollywood and going that direction or whatnot. But like God showed me that. And he also showed me like, first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And as simple as it is, this has taken me 15 years to figure out. Like, how do I love myself in a healthy biblical way where I'm not, becoming a, wackadoodle, but at the same time, like it being a healthy thing, I think that like you have to see yourself first. right? You have to like yourself. You have to like how God made you. You have to be okay with the things you are kind of crappy at. You know, you have to really like not like be have like a bold humility, as my friend Gerald says, about the things that you are really gifted at and you are really good at. And then in that, you're gonna start to like just love yourself. Like it's not this like weird thing. It should be very natural. It should be very simple. So I don't know how this clicks in exactly, but I got this like little deal to have like a talk show on Roku. So like my little letting love in
Wow.
stuff is gonna be like a little show. It's very self-produced, like nothing fancy, but it's kind of a baby step towards like some bigger things. So I'm just like, I don't know. It doesn't really click
Incredible.
exactly, but it's I've never told anyone on like a public platform. So I felt like God said I could share it on yours.
Well, how do we, because I was just going to tell the listeners some of your resources, because you are such a not just a wealth of wisdom, but you have walked through so much. So you know how to walk people through this stuff. You know what the journey looks like. You're not just throwing out platitudes of like, love yourself, feel beautiful, like take down self-hatred with this one step, this one rebuke of that spirit. You know, so often we're like, yeah, I had this moment where I came out of agreement with self-hatred and it was done. And you know what? If that happens for people, awesome. I think it can happen,
I think it
totally.
can.
But so often there's a process to walk things out, and you, I know that I know that I know you know how to walk this out. So, first of all, the Roku thing, when is this going to be live? Is this something that people can access now?
Well, I'm just getting started. So I asked God for lots of confirmations. He's made them all very clear. So I'm like, okay, like I'm a little scared, but I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, like sometimes we're scared of these things that we know he's walking us into, but it doesn't mean we can't be brave and do it anyway. So,
Right.
you know, I'm lining everything up, but I mean, they're ready for my content. I just have to produce it, you know, and I'm just like self-producing it in tiny, tiny house studios, which is my little 250 square feet in Los Angeles.
Tiny house studios, it's perfect.
I call it, yeah. And I think it's going to be called the Letting Love In Show with Lindsay Morgan Snyder. And yeah, we're just going to talk about this kind of stuff, like, you know, love and beauty and probably some fashion and why loving yourself is, you know, important to even your purpose, to be honest.
Absolutely, it
You
is.
know?
And you have a book called Letting Love In, which is where kind of all of this started. And I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes as well. And I know you do, are you still doing coaching with people, or you're having groups where people can join, little cohorts and stuff?
I like to give people the information and then teach them how to connect with God and let him coach them, to be honest. So that's kind of more what I think I do. So yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Lindsay, is there anything else you want to add from that dream right now? I mean, it's just stunning and uncannily literal. Like, how many things are coming out of that dream, which we just don't know until it happens. And we're like, dang, that was symbolic and literal, right? I'm blown away. But is there anything else you want to add before we close?
I mean, it is interesting because I always thought, I said, none of my dreams are literal. They're always metaphorical because I always thought they were. So it is kind of interesting how he can weave in. I don't know. He's so creative and he's just so much bigger than us,
Yeah.
you know? And it's like, I mean, I'm so grateful for you because I feel like you really helped me interpret that. I wouldn't have got to see his glory, honestly, Margot, if you wouldn't have helped me interpret the dream. Because, you know, these things would have happened probably, and I would have been like, do, 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 do. You know, I would have never realized, like, oh no, he spoke that to me in a dream. I just didn't know how to interpret it. So I think it's really vital people like you are doing what you're doing because that actually brings the glory to God, really, truly, you know, because like I wouldn't have been able to be like, yo, look at how amazing our God is. He told me this then, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. Like that shows you the magnificence of God, the way he is a like such a great mosaic kind, you know, can take all the broken pieces and put them together and make something beautiful. Like I wouldn't have had all of that if I wouldn't have gotten this dream interpreted from you. So I'm just super grateful that people like you have the gift you have because we don't all have it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I just would love to kind of close on something you just said, I think is so important, where we're giving God the due glory. And I think sometimes he gives us dreams just so that we see on the other side too how involved he was and how that ministers to our heart, right? Because he does want to show us the season. I mean, he was really speaking about a season with this dream. Like it opened a season. You were already kind of in it, but man, it just went deeper over this last year. And in the moment, I remember as we were talking about death to life, I remember as we were talking about your journey in Israel, there were pieces during the interpretation process that were very deep, and that God was even touching you in a deep way just through the interpretation we had in the moment, even though it was only a piece. So there was fruit even in that moment from interpreting and connecting you to the heart of God even more deeply. But then I believe too, even when we interpret, even when we don't entirely know what it means, but we're really valuing and sitting with the dream, there's seeds that are planted that we might not even know are being planted and that are a part of reaping that harvest when it actually comes to pass. It's like, sometimes I wonder how many of the things would actually come to pass in our lives, or would we even recognize that it was something we could say yes to? Would we even have the self-value in the moment to acknowledge this door that is open if we hadn't done this previous work, if God hadn't been speaking and sowing seeds, you know, prophetically? So I think there's so much value to interpreting, even if we don't get all the pieces right, it's okay. It's just like you said, the ultimate is glorifying him in this beautiful story. And I'm sure there's so much more. And listen, now you're an actress. You could put that all on your resume officially now. I'm sure you have.
It's still kind of crazy to me. I'm like, okay, God, let's go. But yeah, it is. It's crazy to me that you said that. And then like literally like a month later, like it happened. So yeah. Listen to Margo, everyone.
Man, I don't even know. That was totally the Holy Spirit. But he loves to have witnesses to what he's doing. And so he'll always speak before he does something. Even if we don't totally catch it, he'll always speak about it.
And there's one more thing I feel like God's bringing up. Can I share that?
Sure.
It's about the dream. Please. So in the dream, I remember there was like an investor who wanted to pay for my wedding, which I never understood that part of it, you know, and like, who was I marrying? Like, I don't know, you know, I was just there with my sweet mom. Like I, you know, there was no, I don't know, who is this investor? You know, I don't know. Or who is this husband? But what's really weird, and this could just be me, like I'm a connector, so I could be connecting things. You can tell me as the professional if this is right or not. But what's funny is I just got an opportunity to be in this incubator, this business incubator.
Wow.
It's kind of intense, I'm not gonna lie. And God said, I want you to go through this with the idea of like the Lindsay Morgan and Co. Media, which is kind of this big conglomerate of like lots of different media that I've been writing for years, to be honest, different shows and stuff that I have. And, you know, basically this guy is like, you know, at the end of it, you'll have a deck ready for investors. You'll have an investor deck ready to go to investors and be like, here's what we're doing. You know, if you want to be involved, like, you know, give me 20 million. I don't know. But like, isn't that weird? Like that just happened a few weeks ago. And that was in the dream. I mean, there was this investor in the dream, which I didn't really understand.
Yep. I think that's still going to totally be unveiled. I think that's coming. I think there's still more to this dream too. Even besides that, that will continue to unfold. But interesting that that's even like the first time investors and even that kind of language really is like showing up literally, potentially.
It's just weird. It's weird that so much of your life can be packed in one little dream.
And this is what I'm always saying. This is what I'm saying. We're sitting on a treasure chest. Come on, people. And you know too, Linz, because I think when we interpreted that part, we were, and I think this is also true. Here's the layers again, is that was the father in the dream saying that he was investing in you and that he was investing in preparing you for your wedding, right? Mm-hmm. And your mom was there, and moms are often Holy Spirit. So it was this indicator also that the Godhead is with you in this preparation and they're investing in you. But then there's this literal angle too, which we've seen through this whole thing, the metaphorical and the spiritual and the literal.
It's wild. It's super wild.
And it just makes me so excited and it makes me so hungry. Thank you for sharing all of that. Thank you for letting me wrangle you on here again. I just love having you, and probably not the last time. So we might as well just get used to this.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Margot. You're so special. I love this. This is so fun. I always leave so filled up and like in amazement whenever I leave your presence. So thank you for who you
thank
are.
Thank you, Morky. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Love you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.